And let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the grace and truth which thou hast made known to us through Jesus Christ, and for the love of learning which thou hast awakened in our minds. We praise thee for pastors and teachers who guide us in the search for knowledge, in the struggle for justice, and in the ministry of reconciliation. Bless thy servant as he speaks to us today, and let us be swift to hear and to obey thy word. Amen. A few weeks ago, Dr. William Angel informed us that Pastor Winfried Meckler would be at Wake Forest University this week and that he might be available for an address here. We are glad and grateful that Pastor Meckler and Dr. Warren Carr are with us today. It was very generous and very gracious of Dr. Carr to come with Pastor Meckler and to be with us for lunch at 11:30 this morning at the cafeteria. Pastor Meckler is the study director of the Evangelical Academy in Berlin, Germany. He was educated at the University of Berlin, and from 1929 through 1933, he studied with Karl Barth and Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He served a parish in West Berlin and in 1960 began his ministry at the German Dietrich Bonhoeffer Church in London. Since 1968, he has been director of the Evangelical Academy in Berlin, where he helps people in science, industry, and the professions to understand the meaning of their work through theological reflection. He is a man of faith, vision, and courage. It is a privilege to welcome him to this campus and to introduce him to you. And after the hymn by the chapel choir, Pastor Meckler will speak to us.
Thank you. Mr. President,
dear friends, I am very grateful for the opportunity to speak here in this theological seminary, but at the same time, I'm a bit hesitant to speak, as I am not sure if you will be accept my message. However, I will give you that one of my lectures I have prepared for the United States, which I feel is the most important and the central of all my lectures. That's the same I have given yesterday night. But I know that it's a kind of controversial message. The subject is religion in a secular world. And as all of us are theologians and Christians in a secular world, all of us, I think, are concerned with this subject. Very often in Germany, I have discussions with clever sixth formers as students about religions. And every time, these intelligent people bring a lot of arguments, very intelligent arguments, against religion. Also, the two youngest of my children, my own five children, I have confirmed them some years ago, say, we are no longer Christians. We are radicals. We are convinced socialists. But at the same time, they seem to me decent, critical, not complacent or aggressive, nor arrogant or hostile. They have an honest concern for humanity and justice. So, all my arguments this morning include a kind of dialogue with this younger generation, a kind of dialogue between a religious father with his non-religious children. Let me tell you first which role the name of Jesus played within my personal development. When I left school, I contempted or hated the name of Jesus as a kind of incarnation of petit bourgeois and narrow-minded religion. And I was more interested in a worldwide universalism of art and philosophy. But after the First World War, there was a lack of solid ground all over Europe. And Ernst Troeltsch, one of the great German theologians of that time, said, es wackelt alles, everything is going to rock or to wobble. Then Karl Barth came and spoke about the crisis of secular culture and educated us as theological students to understand the message of the Reformation, interpreting sin and salvation, justification by faith and new creation. All that was centered round the name of Jesus Christ and gave us a solid fundament to resist at least spiritual, if not politically, against Hitlerism. We built the so-called Confessing Church with the Declaration of Barmen, which was summed up by the sentence, that the name of Christ is the only divine source of revelation and salvation against all secular powers and revelations, as Hitlerism was. As you know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, my personal teacher, was one of the most consequent members of the Confessing Church, but at the same time, more and more he became critical against her development. He criticized the lack of political resistance and the missing help for suppressed and persecuted people as Jews and socialists were. But during his prisonship, Bonhoeffer criticized also Barth's so-called Offenbarungspositivismus as a kind of new fundamentalism, and he tried to find new ways for interpreting the gospel in a secular world, or as he said, in a more positive way, in a generation having come out of age. He wanted to find a more human explanation or explication of our important link with Jesus Christ. So he no longer called him Christ, the divine Lord, but more Jesus, the man for others. This expression replaced the dogmatical formulation Son of God by the mythological symbol Son of Man, but I think with the same importance and the same personal commitment and honesty. I do not want to bore you by mentioning all the different streams of Protestant theology after World War II in Europe or the United States. You know Bultmann's demythologization and his so-called existential interpretation of the gospel. You know Bishop Robinson's Honest to God, or the American semantic or God is dead theology. And last, the theology of hope or the theology of revolution. What I want to clarify today is this. There are two opposite observations about the value of religion for mankind having come of age. I would say a kind of autocratic image of God has to vanish because the man wants to live in a responsible way. But at the same time, the image of a committed God has to be alive, that mankind is able to live responsibly and in a human way. Or I want to explain it how I tried to explain it yesterday during the discussion. A very committed and intelligent lady theologian, a lady scholar of theology in Germany, Mrs. Dorothy Sölle, a few years said, after so terrible things as Auschwitz, the Holocaust of many million of Jews, and after the explosion of the atomic bomb in Hiroshima, killing hundreds of thousands of people, and you would agree if I say, after that terrible Vietnam War and other terrible things in our present time, after all this has happened, Mrs. Sölle said, I no longer can sing with the famous German song, Praise to the Lord. I no longer can sing Praise to the Lord who over all things so wondrously reigneth. I have become doubtful about that almighty God who so wonderful reigneth. And I think every honest human being of our time has to agree that this is a great, great doubt coming out of these terrible things we have to face. But as Bonhoeffer did, and I think he was very helpful for me, he took our minds to the central message of the gospel, the message of the crucified, the committed Lord, the brotherly God, who no longer wanted to reign from a heavenly throne, but wanted to share human suffering and wanted to commit himself unto death. And I think this mystery, this central mystery of the gospel, can be explained in a very humane way to modern doubting agnostic or even atheist people. And this is a so-called non-religious interpretation of the gospel started by Bonhoeffer. That does not mean a non-religious Christianity. Bonhoeffer remained a believing and committed Christian until his death. But he wanted to explain to committed agnostics or even to atheists, as a young communist he found in prison, this mystery of the crucified Lord. Well, but if we want to give this interpretation of the central mystery of the cross, we better start giving, when we want to give a witness to doubting people, we better start not with revelation, but we better start with earthly reality. And while we use inductive methods rather than deductive methods, reality and reason and thinking can become transparent for mysteries and transrational matters. The intellect may find trans-intellectual experiences. The vorletztes of Bonhoeffer may become open for letztes, the penultimate for the ultimate. The events written in the newspapers may bring us to circumstances interpreted in the Holy Scripture. If you discover in the New Testament the personality and the life of Jesus, this personality and life could become transparent for an image, a model, or a symbol of a God who is less a father figure or an eternal king and lawgiver and more a human brother, a committed friend, a teacher, a good shepherd, as the first paintings of the early Christians show us. They showed a good shepherd as the first painting of Jesus. A God who is not far from us, but is both present and transcendent, appearing through all human faces, identifying himself with all our needs, failures, and dangers by fighting a spiritual struggle with a kind of active suffering for the sake of our rescue. Of our rescue and salvation. This brotherly, rather than autocratic and exclusive God is meant by St. John's quotation, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." That can mean I am the personification of divine love, not by an arrogant or exclusive or superstitious claim, but by a friendly human commitment, not by an expression of exclusive uniqueness, rather than by comprehensive universality of love. Therefore, except by loving identification and responsible commitment for others, there is no real life, no human relations, and no true value, but everywhere in the world where loving solidarity is risked and experienced, valuable and meaningful human life begins to develop. And I would say, Jesus is a hidden, the mysterious spring of this love. The mysterious, I think the spirit of Jesus is the origin of all real love all over the world. The Christians could be considered as the conscious followers of Jesus. And some committed, even agnostic lovers, committed people, may be unconscious followers of Jesus. It may happen that the so-called religious people tell many, many stories about God's love, but are not infected themselves by that love, and that so-called doubtful agnostics or secular atheists are challenged and influenced by that burning fire. Love, I think, is an indivisible unity of eros and agape, sympathy and commitment, sweetness and bitterness, pleasure and responsibility. And as I want to state again, I think the source of this love is Jesus, the man for others, or the God for others. The so-called inclusive and comprehensive rather than the exclusive and substitute intercession of Jesus as a model and as a man for others develops at three levels according to the three steps of his life: incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection. Not in a dogmatical rather than a symbolical interpretation as attitudes or essentials of everybody's human life. Incarnation means humanity and humaneness. Crucifixion means commitment by active suffering. Resurrection means a long breath facing resignation and shortcomings, and even victory over death. Each step starts with a so-called secular aim, which become transcendent and transparent for religious values, namely humanity for faith, commitment for love, and a long breath for hope. Dealing with humanity, justice, and progress as secular aims therefore means dealing with the three great tasks of our time. Humanity deals with the creating of one mankind against racial prejudices. Justice deals with the creation of one society against social exploitation. Progress deals with the creation of one world against technocratic misuse of science and technology. You can call the three steps of Jesus' life the three essentials of meaningful life, namely faith, love, and hope. Faith means prayer. Love means overcoming evil by goodness. Hope means eternal perfection. The first step, called incarnation, starts with humaneness, sympathy, solidarity, and cooperation with all human beings. But through every human face, there is a kind of transparency for the only human face as the image of God, even if it has been spoiled in everybody's life, in our life. Human solidarity and sympathy brings us to the image of God as a fulfillment of humaneness, modeled and symbolized by the face of Jesus. to which we are concentrated in prayer. Prayer does not mean a kind of escape from the world into the darkness of the so-called University of Nirvana. But prayer has for me three clear and enlightened aspects. Number one, concentration on the human sympathetic face of Jesus, transparent through all human faces. Number two, intercession for special human beings, friends or enemies, relatives, suffering or suppressed ones. Number three, self-criticism, a kind of purifying stock-taking of my own daily life in front of that sympathetic human image of God in the face of Jesus. And I have to repeat it, prayer is the source of all life. And prayer means, in a more theological way, that the Spirit of Jesus comes to me and changes my life. So prayer is a source. And I think prayer is the same as we mean by justification, by faith. That the beginning and the start is not our own good work. The start is every time the grace. And I think prayer is open for that dimension of accepting grace. Crucifixion as second step involves commitment, readiness for sacrifice, active suffering in a solidarity with suffering people. That starts by secular purposes and participates in the worldwide struggle for better justice for the underprivileged and suppressed people. That may include solidarity or even participation in revolutionary movements, even accepting the necessity of counter-violence by the suppressed against political, economical, or ideological suppression from above, from the structures of power. But this commitment for better justice becomes itself again transparent for transhuman love, which overcomes evil by goodness and prefers to win rather than to execute and to destroy the enemy. So religious people, in spite of their solidarity with revolutionary movements, have to learn and to practice the testimony of forgiveness and non-violent methods as their special and important contribution to the life of modern society. This kind of active suffering, even in the field of politics, avoids the infection by the bacteria of violence and is a kind of healthy medicine against fanaticism, egotism, and hatred for ourselves and for our environment. Love as active suffering in the name of Jesus has its deadly dangers and risks, but also its victorious chances and possibilities. Last, resurrection. If, as religious people, we are trying within our secular life to kill the roots of evil in our own hearts by a daily spiritual struggle, then we shall win a long breath against bitterness and resignation, facing failures and shortcomings. So we can preserve a messianic utopia, a messianic vision for a coming more human society on this earth as a kind of kingdom of God while we act and struggle for progress and better life. But this struggle for progress again becomes transparent for eternal fulfillment beyond earthly life in a transcendental world which transgresses all our human understanding and can be expressed according biblical symbols only by symbols and parables. This hope, so we expect, will prepare us for accepting our old age, which is a scandal to becoming old, and even for death. But in the moment of death, then we shall be absolutely lonely, but as we hope, comforted by the hands of Jesus, the man for others, or as we Christians can say, Christ the God for others. Conclusion. Religion does not mean mystical escapism, nor legalistic pressure, but it means the three essentials of faith, love, and hope, beginning in secular life, which becomes transparent for transcendental superhuman values, symbolized and focuses for Christians in the human faith and history of Jesus. Other believers may find them as they are both humane and divine in the depths of their own traditions, Judaism, Islam, or even Hinduism or Buddhism, maybe Gandhi. Even so-called non-believers, agnostics or atheists, may have more burning faith, love and hope than some of us as religious storytellers. I must repeat the parable of the New Testament I very often quoted during these days. There was a father who had two sons and asked them to go and work in his field. The one said yes and did no go. The other one said no, but he did work. I think there are a lot of no-sayers, but yes-doers among so-called secular people today. I thank you for listening and conclude my lesson by the word Amen, grace and thanks to be God. Amen.